You're tuned into Highway Sermons with Finney DiGiussini.
I've been very privileged this last week to have such rich apostolic prophetic ministry into the life of this church. I tell you, there's a tangible change in the temperature and the atmosphere. And we are so delighted to be moving forward in the things of God. Unlike 2 years ago, where we had to now back up and explain the doctrines of grace and salvation and righteousness, we're going to relegate that to a Wednesday night for all those hungry to come and learn more about what the Bible teaches on those subjects. But we're just looking forward in these next couple of Sundays and saying, let your glory come, Lord. Let your glory come. Signs, wonders, miracles, healings, the power of God, following the preaching of the word. Amen. Built on a solid foundation of relationships. And working with apostolic prophetic ministry. And in this house, God has blessed us with the most wonderful team of elders. That was a great chance to say amen. I don't know, judging from some faces here, your work's going to be hard. Okay, we're going to smile now. I'm going to say, this church got a great team of elders. Amen. And I've asked Finney to pray for us this morning. Just because we want to model that we are in relationship with apostolic teams and ministry. We've had Rob and Glenda, who we clearly see as having apostolic a gifting to us and relationship. And Finney and Izzy, we see very definitely an apostolic gifting and prophetic gifting into the life of this church. So I'm just going to hijack a little bit of his time, and I'm going to ask you to stand in agreement as we pray. Also, just added to that is, because of all the sending out of elders over the last 10 months, two needed to step down and three needed to be sent. But one of those who felt it was time to step off were Dave and Louise. But I've asked them just in this interim period, if they'd come on again, just to stand with the eldership team while God is raising up leaders and restructuring the church. So we're very excited to have them back on the eldership team with us. Amen. And then coming to you live from Westville as well is James and Corrine Preston. Why don't you guys come up? Jimmy and Michelle, do good. Come up, please. Dave and Louise Gibbon and Janet Wheeler, please come up. I beg you. And then I'm going to ask Finn and Iz if they would. I'm just praying for that.
One, two. Let's stretch out our hands. What an honor to love the leaders that God has set in place. An honor and bless those whom God has ordained. We thank you, Father, you set in leaders, and I see in these leaders servant hearts. Whoa. I see that they have the heart of servant. They haven't looked for this, they haven't put up their hands and said, pick me, pick me, pick me. They've just laid down their lives. They've already been doing this ministry for many years. And we thank you, Father, for an acceleration, an impartation of life. I thank you that as Dave and Louise come back on team, Lord, it's because they've got the Caleb anointing, who said, give me the high mountains. Give me the difficult places. And I thank you that wisdom doesn't come in a lucky packet, Lord. That wisdom comes through years. Whoa, years of faithfulness, years of the word, years of study, years of the glory, years in the presence of God. And I release fire on this family. Fire, 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 fire on these elders. Fire, 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 fire. Men and women, men and women, men and women, men and women. Shanda said that the women will not shrink back. The women will not shrink back. The women will not shrink back. But they will be bold as lions. They will bold as lions. they will accelerate the kingdom of heaven, accelerating. Shanda reka satara baha shiki. Fire, 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 fire. That's the fire of God. That's the fire of God. That's the fire of God. We shakira basendin deke seke tiki tiki tasatara pando son da na na. I thank you, Father, the women in this church are not going to share. They're going to preach the power. Ah, shanda ra baba. Shanda re ke sinda ha kasa tando totropo shiki hasa hande ke seti mama. Shambo soro, shambo soro. Fill them with wine, Lord. Fill them with wine. We want happy pastors, Lord. We need happy pastors, Lord. Happy pastors, happy marriages, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you guard, you guard. Guard the leaders. Guard them from witchcraft. Guard them from any of the arrows of the evil one, Father. Give them joy in the place of ministry. Unspeakable joy, Lord. Every day. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. And we as a church affirm them today. And we say, Lord, we want to make their job a joy. We want to be so responsive in our faith and in our submission and in our obedience to their leadership that we will make their job a joy, not a burden. We are going to be the happiest little sheep you've ever seen. You've heard of happy feet? This is happy sheep. And we bless you as leaders today. We bless you apostolically and prophetically that you will go from strength to strength, that they will have no ceilings. No limitations, no small thinking, but you'll expand, you'll grow in the things of God and the things of the Spirit, and there'll be an ever-increasing flock around your care, an ever-increasing flock, an ever-increasing flock. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. You'll not be found wanting. You'll not be found wanting. My grace is sufficient. There'll be evangelism, and there'll be teams going out. There'll be signs and wonders. There'll be power, power explosions. And the Highway Church will become known for a place where the glory dwells. It'll become known for a place of the presence of God. It'll become known as a place where signs and wonders are frequent. Where it's not the exception, but it's the norm. God says it'll become the norm. It'll not be something that you think, oh, remember last time God moved. It'll be every day God moves. Every day God moves. Every day God moves. Sando kore keze. Pishama sakiala, samalare, 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 preseteke, shekisiki. We bless you. And we honor the leaders that God has put in place. Because when we honor them, we are honoring the Lord Jesus himself. We honor you and thank the Lord for you. Thank you for your diligent work. Thank you for laying down your lives. Thank you for giving up other careers. When you could have gone another direction, you've chosen the path of God's work. We honor you for those decisions. Thank you, Lord. No one's in this for the money because there isn't much of that to go around. We're in this for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord.
Appreciate that. Just a big thanks to the interns and the staff for putting such quality into the organizing of this conference we've just had. I can't tell you how many people were just so encouraged by the efficiency and how well things ran. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's really about guys like you that make it happen, and then we get all the thanks. You know, it's not fair. And then also to mention that Rob will be here. We're having a celebration. So even if you weren't part of the Grace and Glory conference, you'd do well to come along tonight as we celebrate together. Come early. The place is going to be full, but we're going to have a delightful time. Right, we're going to take up our morning offering. And if you're visiting here this morning, in the past we'd say to you, there's no obligation for you to give. We've changed that now. In fact, if you're a visitor, put up your hands. We'd like to borrow your wallet and give us. We've always wanted a gift. No, not really. But what we would like to model when we take up the offering is that this is our investment into the gospel. That this is not bribery money for God's protection, and it's in no ways trying to get blessed, because we have now learned. It's taken us 2 years. We're fast learners. But we've learned that we are blessed, and as a result of that, we give. If you get a, if you get given 10 rand, that's a blessing. And then we set apart a side of that apart and say, this goes back into the gospel. It represents my time, my energy, my effort, my hard work, and this is going back into the gospel, because I want the ministry of the church to continue and to grow so that others may have an opportunity to come into this wonderful freedom. Amen. So as we take our offering this morning, let's say together, Father God, thank you for the gospel. Thank you that the gospel has changed my life. And Lord, thank you for giving me bread to eat and giving me seed to sow. And as I sow this morning, I'm sowing into your gospel that it will impact this nation and the nations of the world. Amen. Amen. God bless as you do that. And then Finn will be coming up to minister.
Yeah. Good morning. How are you going? Greetings from Sydney, Australia. I know I sound South African, because I grew up in Kloof. Don't hold that against me. Went to Kersney. Don't hold that against me. But I'm an Aussie, except when it comes to cricket and rugby.
Amen.
So there's limits as to how much you can get converted. Amen?
Amen.
But we're going to work together, Izzy and I. We're the Fizzies together, Finney and Izzy. With the Fizzies. And we have six beautiful children. Two of them are here with us this morning, Jordan and Zoe. And we left four back home. And Izzy, I think, has a word for the church. So,
yeah, we just want to say that our church... Must I stand up? Is that better?
I think so.
All right. No, it's fine. It's such a delight to be with you. We've been looking forward to this for so long. And our church has been praying for you, Jubilee. And they've been very excited to hear what God is doing here and what God is doing in the city and in this nation, South Africa. And so we bless you, and I'm standing here as a blessing and release from our church as well, back in Sydney. So you have a family there. We're all connected. Isn't it awesome, the family of God? But this morning, I was thinking about this, the highway, and I was just lost in a vision that I didn't understand at first. But I saw... three lines. The middle one was empty, and it was both sides were rows of people, and they were just as far as the eye could see, and they just went all around the earth. And it was rows of people all around the earth, like the longest train you've ever seen. And then all of a sudden, down the middle was just this runner that was running. I'll have to demonstrate it if Finn can hold. It was with arms out and touching both hands, because all the hands on either side of these rows were stretched out. So you know how you do if you catch people's hands? And the middle one, this middle single person, was running down so fast with all the hands and clapping each hand as they went down, and it just went all around the earth. And I was watching, and I kept watching the vision. Sometimes you just don't know what the vision is. And I said, Holy, I really understand. And he showed me, he said, this is, I'm gathering the bride. I'm gathering my beloved. And when I looked closer, I realized that there were fathers and sons representing the Father, the Son. And in the middle, the Holy Spirit was running, because I just saw the back of him run so fast. And he's, you know what the Bible says, he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And as he was touching each flesh, he was touching each hand, on their hands was the silver thread, so that when he let go, as he went, the silver threads were continuing. So, I'm going to hold again. picture the Holy Spirit running, but now he's running and this everyone's been threaded to him. So that, and then I heard that scripture, threefold cord can never be broken. And I saw that the fathers were being woven into the sons. And just as the Trinity is one, just as Elohim is one God, so there is one body. And this beautiful plait that was threaded with the silver, it was so glorious. They were just, as he was drawing them, they were all falling. They were all falling down. So that the bodies became plaits and they were threaded together. And that's what I was singing about. I was singing about the laid down lovers of God, that God is gathering a bride, and as people are receiving from him and being threaded into him, that we don't have to worry about becoming one and having campaigns for unity, because we can't do this, can we? We haven't exactly got it right this far. The Holy Spirit is looking just for lovers of God, and he's making us lovers of God. But as we get touched by him, he reveals to us Christ, because Jesus said he will reveal me to you, just as Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. And so I feel like there's going to be this incredible outpouring on the earth that will help people understand who Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is. And it isn't one. You know, we've got people that are just, we're all about the Father's heart, but they've forgotten about Jesus. And so if you sit there in the Father's lap, you can sit and have offense in your heart for years. Because you're allowed to, because Father will just stroke your body and just help you. No, he's not like that. You see, he sent Jesus to carry all our pain so that we don't live in offense. Nobody can fix you, only Christ, because he's already fixed you. And you can't just have Christ and just preach the gospel and bash people and not understand they're coming to someone. So no one comes through me. No one comes to the Father but through me. People are coming to a Father, but they're coming through Christ. And Christ is the longest corridor there is. You just don't get out of him. You enter him and you don't come out of him. People think, oh, you just come through him. Oh, I'm glad that was a tight squeeze. Now I'm going to... The gate never ends. He's an open gate that never ends. Once you enter, you don't come out. You don't come out the other side. Well, that's the back of Jesus now. Now you're in Christ, and the fathers and sons are joining together, and God is creating this incredible synergy in the earth of a community of people that not just agree. They don't agree. Agreement is the lowest form. It's not so much agreeing. It's coming into the oneship of Christ. Because when you're one, you don't have to agree anymore. We don't always agree. I know that's shocking to you. We disagree almost on a daily basis. It's kind of fun. Because like we just don't see this, and it doesn't matter because we're one. It's greater. One is greater than agreeing. You're looking at me like you're not too sure about this. We're stunned. So the oneness of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says in Corinthians that we all drink of that same Spirit. One body. In Ephesians we read about one body. We have one baptism. We've come into one faith, one hope, one God. And this is what God is doing, this incredible plait, this threefold cord, these laid down lovers that are the bride of Christ. So if he's the head, maybe we're the braids, I don't know, but he has adorned the earth for his glory. And the knowledge of this glory, of what is the people of God arise, the sons of glory that are arising, their surrender is glorious. The greatest thing you can do is surrender. We don't have to control anymore because he's bigger. He's better. So he's an awesome God. And that's what I was seeing happen. I thought I'd explain the vision. And what I just want to say, I just want to bless Highway, because I'm not going to get an opportunity to say anything more this morning. And I just want to say that this place, when I keep seeing the name, it's Highway of Holy Holy. I feel like it's that runway where he's got freedom to come and thread people together and weave people together from every kind of background, young people. And old people. And it's not an old people's revival. And it's not a youth revival. It's both. And everything in between. This revival is going to touch every tribe, every tongue, every age group. You're going to see babies and children. I promise you, we're seeing an outpouring on children. Even what we're seeing over the conference. Little children just having visitations. Angel, people, just them understanding. I think we're going to learn from the little ones. We really are. So God is opening our hearts to this beautiful Holy Spirit who's been left to teach us and to help us. And He's in us and He threads us together. And so we go back to Sydney with a little part of you, guys. And we just want you to know that we feel joined. And we want to honor and bless you because something of what we were in this building years and years ago, laboring with the eldership there. And we want to honor the elders and honor the leaders in this place because they are, they're not doing the hard work. They're equipping you to do the work. They're equipping you to watch out for one another. They're equipping you to keep the wolves out. They're equipping you to remain vulnerable and to remain surrendered to the greatest love. And so I bless you. May He keep you. May your faces shine out onto the earth. God bless you.
Amen. Shabba. I don't know what time we'll finish, and I don't plan to go long, but what we do at Jubilee is if you need to go, just go. Anytime. You know, we don't own anybody. It's an honor to be here, but I do want to fully discharge what God's given us to minister into the life of the church. And so if you have to go, just go. I felt I had a word, and I've called it the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And that scripture comes from Romans 8, if you turn there with me. We planted Jubilee out of a word God gave us. We were in Holland ministering, Izzy and I, at a conference. And my son Jordan was just a few years old, and he was back home in Adelaide, and we had spoken to our friends and said we wanted to plant a church in Sydney, but we didn't know where and we didn't know when. And Jordan wasn't well, so we went into our room to pray for him. And as we were praying for him, the glory of God filled our room to such a degree that I thought if I opened my eyes, I might die. Happily, but it was the awe of God, AWE. There was absolute awe of God in our room. Scary. I was crying and kind of laughing at the same time. You know when you feel you have this encounter with God, you're not sure whether you're schizophrenic because you're crying and you're also laughing. You're happy, but you're crying and people aren't sure. You aren't sure. That's what God does. He undoes you. Amen? And in this encounter, God took Izzy into a vision because she's a seer. And God showed her a coastline, a very clear beach. And He gave her the banner, Eastern Suburbs. And a whole lot of promises about the extraordinary signs and wonders that we'd see in that city of Sydney. And we didn't know if Sydney even had an eastern suburbs, because coming from Durban only has a north and a south and a western suburbs. There's no eastern suburbs, because if you were in the eastern suburbs, you'd be out at sea. Amen? On a ship. And so we got back to Adelaide and got a map book and then we of Sydney, and there we saw the harbour is so set back, where the opera house is so set back that there's actually a parcel of land, a corridor of land. It's the most expensive real estate in the whole of Australia, because it's close to the beach. Bondi Beach was the beach that we'd seen in the vision, and so we knew exactly where to go. God just put a very clear target on Sydney. It wasn't anywhere in Sydney. It's a city of 5 million people. You can drive for 2 hours and still be in Sydney, and that's because there's so many traffic lights mainly. And the roads go like this. On a scooter, you can do it in about an hour, though. I'm on a scooter all the time. So God sent us to Sydney, and we planted the church. We called it Jubilee from Luke 4, where the Lord said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord's on me to proclaim freedom to the captives, to declare the year of the Lord's favor." And that year is the year of Jubilee. It's not a year. It's actually a person. Because it doesn't matter what year you get saved, what year you get the revelation, that's the time you get the revelation, that's when you get free. Amen. And it's ever-increasing freedom. It's ever-increasing dimensions of Jesus. Because I've been saved for 30 years plus, and I am increasingly knowing God. I'm increasingly coming into the freedom God has for me. I'm enjoying the journey. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. Come on. So that's an ever-increasing. He said we're going to be transformed from with ever increasing glory, from glory to glory. So it doesn't matter where you are today. From the end, in the next hour, you're going to go into another dimension. Because that's the way God works. He doesn't leave us where we are. He doesn't leave us in our condition. He comes to us. It says he initiated this whole love affair was his idea. He said, you didn't choose me. I first chose you. So we think, I made a really good decision. I followed God. Yes, you did. But he called you. He wooed you. And you responded and said, yes, I do. I will. Thank you very much. Salvation sounds good. This gospel sounds too good to be true. Because it's too good to be true. What do you have to do to get this gospel? Just say yes. Just believe. Amen.
Amen.
You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. We're all undeserving. Anybody deserving here? No, we're all undeserving. And God came to us. So we planted this church and it's Jubilee. And it took us a while to work out what the DNA of that church should be. We come out of a revival culture here. In many moves of God's Spirit in the 90s and even back in the 80s, the whole power of God moving in tremendous power. Izzy had a call of God in this building. Was a bit smaller then, but somewhere here, on the carpet, God encountered her. She was 27 years old, and the Lord said to her, no longer are you going to be Finney's wife. I have called you. You're not called because you're married to someone. You're called because you're called. And I'm going to speak to you. You're going to hear my word and you're going to speak my word. And from being a timid and a shy individual who would reluctantly stand behind a keyboard and play very quietly, and I'd always be turning around saying, can't hear you. Speak up, sing up. From being that person, 2 hours in God's presence with the voice of the Lord, she got up and she was a different person. She was like a lion. S. Amen. Well, she's got these curly locks. It's like, ah! and the fruit of that is self-evident. Just what God's done in her life and what she's become is amazing. It's just extraordinary. Whoa. Because in Christ there's neither male nor female. I know that we live in a culture, I'm digressing here. We live in a culture where somehow we have this misconception that men are a little bit higher than women and women must submit and all that. And I believe in submission. But it's mutual submission. If you read Ephesians 5:22 without reading Ephesians 5:21, you miss the whole point because it says, submit yourselves one to another. That's the first verse. The second verse, and the NIV breaks it up. Husbands and wives, the title of NIV starts at verse 21, but actually it should start 22, it should start in verse 21. Amen. Because this thing of marriage and cooperation and union, it's the mystery of it is that we submit to one another. There is headship, but it's the source, not over. I'm not over my wife. I'm her source, like the head of the river. It's the source of the river. So I'm a source of life. I pray. I bless her. I honor her. And she honors me and she receives my love. And that's how we function together. Amen. Different gifts, different callings, different perspectives. Normally takes me a while to catch up to what she's seeing. Amen. No one said amen there, but that's all right. She was teaching from Genesis the other day on men and women and the beauty and the mystery of just this incredible thing of a man leaving his father and mother and a wife and they're coming together, becoming one flesh. And the Lord said, I'll give to you a helper, a helpmeet. And she said, if you you have a computer problem with your computer, well, who are you going to look to find some help? Someone who's as skilled as you or somebody who's more skilled than you? What do you reckon? More skilled. Amen? Because you don't need to know what you already know. You need somebody who knows a bit more than you so you can get the computer fixed. And so when the Lord looked for a helper for Adam... Come on. My shares just went up, I tell you what. I could just feel it. When she preached that at our church about 3 weeks ago, one of our dearest friends and one of the fathers in our church, he's been with us for 14 years since the church started, he said, you know, Izzy, you were preaching amazingly until a certain point. And And in those early days, I was working very hard, and we were traveling a lot, and we were doing conferences all over the world, and trying to have, you know, plant a church and get traction in the city, and also raising an ever increasing flock of children and an ever increasing church. We have 6 children, and it was just a lot of work. And at some point, I think in about 2000, 2001, I picked up my guitar and I couldn't play it anymore. It was like there was noise, but I'd completely imploded inside. I had nothing more to give. I'd finished, the storehouse was empty. And you know, if you get to that point, it's called burnout. If you get to that point, it's not because it's God's will to teach you something. It's the spirit of stupid that's come on you. Because the river is flowing from the throne and never, like, oh, it's just a trickle today. What's happening in heaven? It's like I'm a little dry. Well, hello. It's not because the river's dry. It's because you're dry. It's because you haven't been in the river. If you're looking like all shriveled up like a prune, it's not because God is somehow not flowing his river to your life. It's because you just haven't got in the river and you've become grumpy. The spirit of grumpy has come on you. And when you burn out, you get grumpy. You become judgmental. You become cynical. You become conservative. That's the fruit of dryness. And God's will was never that Israel went into this wilderness time. Wilderness is not an option. Just skip the wilderness. When you see the sign, wilderness, just keep going. Amen. Skip that turn off, because where you're going is the promised land. And from Egypt to the promised land was a 3-week hike. But it took them 40 years. Spot the problem. Because they were meant to obey God, disobedience and unbelief takes us into the wilderness. Ouch. Amen. It's not like I'm having a wilderness experience. Well, why did you go there? Why would you confess to such stupidity, you know? So it wasn't helpful, and I was burnt out, and I was dry, and I was like, oh God, you know, this is not fun. And you become almost, the church was a bit dysfunctional, and I'm like, do I have to be in this for my life? Sometimes I didn't want to go to church myself, but I was the leader, so I had to go, you know. I used to drive to church past all these amazing cafes at Bondi Beach, and I'd like envy them having their cafe and reading the morning paper on a Sunday, and I had to go to church, which is not a good sign. And then in 2002, we ended up doing an outreach. We're doing a ministry to a friend of ours' church in Taiwan, in Taichung. And, we got there, and there was, I think, 5 or 6 nights of ministry. Tuesday night, right through to Sunday, we had ministry planned. 2 nights of leadership, 2 nights of worship, 2 nights of whatever, outreach, evangelism. And the first night, God turned up. And it's always nice when God comes to church. And Izzy was prophesying. She got it in this incredible flow of the glory. She's calling out individuals and prophesying. And then the glory fell and we could not speak. Because people in their seats were being delivered of spirits of infirmity, spirits of oppression, spirits of depression. People were shaking, falling out their seats, rolling, running in the aisles. This, the Elijah anointing. People rolled. You know, the early Methodists were called holy rollers because they rolled under the power. It's a long time ago. Haven't been called that for a while. But they're rolling. People are rolling, and children were weeping, going into trances, encountering Jesus. And for 5 nights, we couldn't speak. I mean, I couldn't preach. There was no point because no one was listening. Which I love. I didn't mind at all. And then on the Sunday, we wrapped it up, and I said, I had all my notes. I just left them in my briefcase. I didn't even take them out because God had visited with his people. See, God wants us to encounter him. He doesn't want you to encounter a message as powerful as preaching can be. And the foolishness of preaching will always bring the revelation of the gospel. But he wants us to encounter not the message, but the person of the message. Because when you've encountered the person of the message, then you're not carrying the message, you're carrying the person of the message. And no one has to persuade you, oh, you should read your Bible, you must go to church, you should tithe. No, you'll just want to go to church, you'll want to be in God's presence, because you've encountered him. He's called you. Amen. Amen. So all these guys got completely wrecked. The church was like a battlefield. There were bodies everywhere. There was people groaning, crying, laughing. No one cared. about what everyone else. You see, when you, the opposite of God consciousness is self-consciousness. When you're self-conscious, you're thinking, what will people think? I feel like weeping now, but if I weep, oh my goodness, my husband might notice, or my wife might notice, or my children might, somebody might notice, and I'm like, never mind rolling in the aisles and falling about and getting drunk. The early church began in a complete explosion of drunkenness. Any way you look at it, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit got poured out, those 120 looked drunk. Because Peter had to explain, they're not drunk. As you suppose. They are drunk. But not as you suppose. Last year or sometime recently, we had an evening service, and our church services did go on because we like to drink. We have, you know, happy hour, and then another happy hour after that, and we just keep going as long as God's there. So we kind of rolled out the church. I was carrying someone who couldn't get to her car, and Izzy was not really conscious. Except that, and a lot of our leaders were like in that condition, and we were on the pavement outside our church, which is a very built-up area. There's townhouses everywhere. We're in the inner city, so we have neighbors, bang, 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 townhouses, blocks of flats all around us, and quite a busy road. And there was a little side road, and I was lying on the road, looking up at the stars, and screaming with laughter. And our leaders and members of our church were in various positions of disorder. Some were in their cars, some were half in their cars, doors still open, windows all misted up inside the car. And all of a sudden there's this tsh of light, and a cop van has driven up. And he's got his big halogen lamp on us, and he's like, oi, what's going on here? So one of our leaders who could still walk, he like walked over to the officer. Officer, honestly, we've just been to church. And he said, I could see he didn't believe us. And I just stayed on the road. I'm not getting up. You know, I'm not breaking the law that I know of. And I'm like, well, I am on the road. And he said, well, just quieten it down then. Very respectful policeman in Australia. I was wondering what he wrote in his book that night when he got back to the station, you know. So Pentecost was like that. The Pentecostal experience is an experience of God himself, where you become less conscious of yourself and more conscious of God. Because when you're self-conscious, you're worried. If I lift my hands, you know, people watching me. If I dance in the aisle, people are watching me. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you just don't care. Because you're more conscious of him and pleasing him and obeying him and loving him and being loved by him than you are of what people think of you. Come on. Come on. And that's what true freedom is. The freedom of the sons of God is being conscious of God. That I'm not trying to be stupid. I'm not being silly. If God comes on me, sometimes what he does might look silly. Come on. And we don't try and look silly. We don't want to be clever. We don't want to be weird for the sake of being weird. But we want to obey God. Who wants to obey God? I just want to obey God. I want to get to heaven one day. And he says, well done. Good and faithful servant, because you've obeyed me. You did what I called you to do. That's what I want to be. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I don't have to please man. I want to please God. I'm a son of God. So are you. So Taiwan was an amazing outpouring. And we had this incredible, it transformed the church. The church trebled in size. If anyone tells you, well, you know, if you go for the charismatic gifts and the power of God and the presence of God and you start teaching grace, you know, your church could shrink. Well, it trebled. Our church has trebled in the last 2 years, trebled in size. We've had to increase, put in mezzanine levels and floors, and it's just we can't cope with the numbers of people that are hungry for the presence of God. So 2002, so I went to God, I said, God, I recognize these signs because we've been through the 1990 when Rodney Howard Brown was in Pinetown and God moved so powerfully. Every service was 3 hours and we had to carry people to their cars and people couldn't drive and people were clinging to the poles because, you know, it was pot plants had their head in the pot plant, you know. And they weren't aware of it. That's the funny part. And month after month, we had these outpourings, and I think we took them for granted. I think that we didn't despise them because we honored God, what God was doing, but we thought, well, that's His church. Well, this is great. It's going to be fun for the rest of our lives. And yet when God does something, it's not because then He's going to, well, that's it. You know, some people teach that the outpourings of God are like a mist tunnel. I've run the Comrades twice, and what you get is when you get to Nchanga or you get to a Thousand Hills, they have a mist tunnel. It's just like a garden thing, a tunnel with these little mist sprays, and you're hot because you've been running for 5 hours, and then you go through this mist tunnel. Whoosh. Dun, 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 dun. And then you get refreshed, and then reality comes back, and then you come out the mist tunnel. And you're back to hard work, and the kingdom of God is hard work, and just bless God, you know, put your, it's like a grind. And that's not true. I think all of life is a mist tunnel. Come on. Why do we have to get out of the mist tunnel? Why do we have to get out of the presence, out of the glory, out of the deluge of heaven? Surely God wants to keep us refreshed. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, it leads to debauchery. But be filled. The context there is be being filled. Be ongoingly filled. Just get filled as often as you can. Get in the presence of God. Get into worship. Get into the freedom of the sons of God. Get into it and just be filled. So I went to God and said, God, I know this feeling. This is 2002. I know this feeling. I love this. Where have you been? And He answered me very quickly, where have you been? Like, I haven't moved. My nature hasn't changed. I'm the God of freedom. I'm the God of liberty. I'm the God of outpouring. I'm the God of the river of God. I am who I am. But it took this outpouring to shift you back to where you should always have been. Where did you go, my son? And so I got back to Sydney. I went via Mongolia and India, I think, and Hong Kong, came back to Sydney 3 weeks later. So I'm in my morning service, and I said, God, guys, you've got to believe this was an amazing time in Taiwan specifically. God began to move, and I just described some of the things God did. And as I was talking, bang, bang, people started to weep, fall out their seats, became unconscious in the presence of God. You see, God changed me. And what was on me, I was carrying. And after that service, which became very disorderly, from there, got worse. I went back to the Lord and said, Lord, I like church this way. This is what I was born for. I can give my life for this. Where God is moving more than I'm moving. You see, if church relies on me, on my powers of persuasion, on my preaching gifts, or my music gifts, if it relies on me, it's going to be very hard work. But if you come to our services, if you touch people, if people get translated into heaven and see Jesus' face and encounter angels, oh, I can do church like that for the rest of my life. Amen. And so I said, can we have this forever? And he said, well, just hold on to the hem of my garment. Don't let go. Like, you found something now. You know when you've gone somewhere, if you know where an address is, you find that address, you've been there once, you can get back there. Amen. Anytime, day or night, you can get back to that place because you've been there. You know the address. I know the address of heaven now. I know the address of the river of God. I know the address of miracles and signs and wonders. And you can go back there whenever you want to. There's no like, oh well, you know, the next 2 years, I think we're going into a dry season, guys. Watch out. Watch out. Tribulation food from now onwards. No. We have encountered God, and God wants us to go from glory to glory. Ever increasing glory. So many of you are going to encounter God this morning. It's going to take you somewhere. And then you're going to encounter God more next week. And you're going to keep encountering Him. So you build on the experiences. You don't take one experience and dismiss it and say, well, that was good for then. No, it's good for then. It's good for now. What God is doing is unfolding revelation. It's increasing revelation. God has many dimensions to His nature. Many dimensions to the Scripture. You can read a Scripture once. You read it again next week. It means a bit more. Did it mean less then? No, you understood it less. But the revelation increases. Come on. God's got more revelation for us. So we just decided that's what we like church to be a little bit freer. We enjoy free worship. We enjoy prophetic worship. This morning was amazing, wasn't it? God was there from the beginning. I could feel the presence of God. We all felt the presence of God. Then the prophetic song came, or the prophetic word about the chains and the dancing and the rhythms of heaven. So the drummer begins to doom, doom, doom. Picks up the prophetic word, the song of the Lord comes. And then then we went from the presence of God into a realm of glory where people get taken up in the spirit. What does it mean to get taken up in the spirit? You get taken out of your physical limitations of your mind and your emotions and your body, and you get taken up into a realm of God where time matters less, where you enjoy the love and the glory and the presence of God. What is the presence of God? The presence of God is the glory of God. It is the essential goodness of who He is. And sometimes it's not like God is less good at any time in our life, but we aren't always aware physically and consciously of how good He is. Worship takes us into that dimension where we become physically and emotionally aware of His goodness. That's why people in the worship like just start crying. Hey, God's healing something. God is touching them with His love because He's in love with His bride. But He's just looking for an opportunity to love you. You've got to give Him time for Him to love you. Amen. So worship opened up that dimension this morning, and freedom came, and dancing. And then this girl started dancing up. It was so beautiful. A few of you did. I don't know how many, but and then she collapsed because that's what happens sometimes. You collapse. People wonder, they ask me, Finney, why do people fall under the power? What a ridiculous question. If God's present, how do you stand? That's the question. You know, it's like, hello. God Almighty, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, when He arrives, well, people's bodies give way. People swoon and faint and have ecstasies. That's the nature of God, is He wants to overwhelm us. He's in love with us. This is a love affair. It's the greatest love story of all time. How God loved the world and sent His Son. It's a love story. Amen. He's in love with His church. Woo! And I'm in love with Him, and I love His church. I'm like, whoa, watch out for people. And we don't have a perfect church. We got a church full of people. We got some strange fish. Huddy Baker prophesied over us. He says, the strange fish are going to come, and they've come. Come on. And we welcome them. We say, welcome. Because God's healing the strange fish. He's bringing people up off the streets. People who have been homeless. People who have had drug addictions. People who have been sexually abused. People who are broken. Because He came to heal the brokenhearted. If the strange fish can't feel at home in church, where will they feel at home? Come on. And so the glory of God is for the lost. It's for the church. The presence of God is for everybody. Everybody is welcome. So that was my introduction. Romans 8. And so for 8 years now, what's it, nearly 9 years, we've enjoyed a constant flow of the river of God. Sometimes it's wild, sometimes it's out of control, sometimes it's like I've described to you, we're on the footpath and we're drunk and rolling. Other times it's very quiet. Very, very, very awesome. Always healing though. Always miracles. It's never a lifting off like, well, we haven't seen God move. No, God is always moving. He just wants us to cooperate with Him and see what the Spirit's doing. So we know what the Spirit's doing. We're not confused because everyone who's born of God knows God. We hear His voice. The sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. Not like, what's God saying? God, we know what's saying. You know much more than you think you know. Every single one of you know the voice of God. Verse 21 says, for we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Sorry, 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Say the glorious freedom of the children of God. How many of you are children of God this morning? Well, God has glorious freedom for you. He has glorious freedom for you. I'm going to mention just four of those things. There's many dimensions to freedom. I won't get to them all. I might not even get through the four. But I'm saying God has for us the glorious freedom of the sons of God. The sons of God are free. Galatians 5:1 says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we live in that. We don't get hijacked back into a place of bondage, into a place of law, into a place of coercion, into a place of manipulation, into a place of condemnation. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Who condemns you? The devil. He's called the accuser of the brothers. He condemns you day and night. How do you feel condemned? I'm just going to help you here. Through thoughts. A bad thought. You feel bad about yourself. You feel bad about what you've done or what you did or what you thought you should have done. You feel bad about that thought. It's a thought of condemnation. It's a voice of accusation. And it's in Revelation 12, it says he's called the accuser of the brothers because he accuses you day and night. Well, we have an advocate. We have an advocate who advocates, who defends us. And he's pretty good at his job. Amen. Ah, he's the Holy Spirit. He's good at his job. He's a very erudite and articulate defender, and he says over each of us, not guilty. He says over us, the righteousness of Christ. You have received righteousness not because of what you've done, you received it as a gift. The gift of righteousness. Come on. So you say, well, Finney, where do those thoughts come from? I'm glad you asked that question. I want to help you with something this morning. Not every thought you have is yours. I'll say it again. You have about 70,000 thoughts a day. Some of us, like Steve, maybe 60,000, 50,000. But not all of those thoughts are your thoughts. How does temptation come? It's a thought. So I get an impure thought. I get a thought of depression. I get a thought of condemnation. I get a thought of something unkind. Well, it's not my thought because I'm a new creation in Christ. I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ that I have does not have impure thoughts, doesn't have weird thoughts. It's not unclean in any way. It's pure. Amen? Amen? So the mind of Christ, what I have, has everything beautiful. So if I have a thought that is not in line with God. That's why it says taking every thought captive. Why would you need it? You don't need to take Christ's thoughts captive, do you? Well, hello. So I have thoughts. I'm a son of God. I'm righteous. I'm thinking those are the thoughts of God. I wake up in the morning and he says, you're a son. You're my beloved son and I'm well pleased. You know, the father was pleased with Jesus before he did anything. When he got baptized in the Jordan, the heavens opened and there was open heaven over Jesus. He said, oh, this is my son. Everybody look, this is my boy, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. His identity, Jesus' identity was not in what he did. He went on from there to do amazing things. But up to that point, he had done nothing. God's pleased with us already. Before you found your ministry or found your gift, he's pleased with us already. So when you realize how pleased he is with you, what happens? You get happy. You become a happy sheep. Not working to this religious treadmill of trying to get the pleasure of God, get the favor of God. You already have the favor of God. You already have it. It's already yours. You're not working for it. You already have the favor of God. This is the glorious freedom of the sons of God. That we are, God is pleased with us. He's already pleased with us. So Jesus then, from the place of pleasure, from the place of an intimacy, from the place of favor, he went and did amazing things. And God has amazing things for us to do. Ephesians 2:20 says, God's prepared works, good works, say good works, in advance for us. What are those good works? Well, that depends on what your gifting is. Some of you, it's evangelism. Some of you, it's teaching. Some of you, it's pastoral care. Some of you, it's gifts of mercy. Some of you, gifts of administration. Hallelujah. Amen. And each of those gifts, hospitality, psalmody, all those gifts are equal before God. The fact that I get to teach, the privilege of teaching and the prophetic or teaching apostolically, that's a privilege that we get to equip the saints. But it's not a higher gift. But it's a first gift because God says he sets first gifts in place. Because those are foundation laying gifts. If you don't have those gifts laying foundations, then you get a wonky looking house. Amen. Come on. Ay, 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 ay. Happy sheep. Your thoughts. So you get a thought that's temptation. You get a thought that's negative. Just swat it like a fly. Shikaba. Fushahawa. Shikaba. Filter your thoughts. Depression is a spirit that speaks. Sometimes it's on you. It's very close to you because you hear the voice of it and it's telling you, you're not worthy. Kill yourself. End it all. Go that. Do this. Do that. It's a confusing voice. That voice needs to be silenced. Silence the foe. Still the avenger. You've got to realize that's not you, because some people receive salvation and they feel amazing for a period of time, a honeymoon period. And then these old thoughts come back and old habits. And you think, I thought I was a new creation. I thought old things passed away. Why is it coming back? Well, it's not you. But your soul, your mind, your emotions, they have memory. And you remember some of your sinful past. But you're no longer that person. You are not that person because you are a new creation. So you're going to tell yourself, hey, Jane, Bob, Bill, Josephine, that's not me. That's a ridiculous thought. Oh, what a weird thought. I'm not weird. I'm not unclean. I'm not perverted. That could not be my thoughts. That clearly is an enemy. That's not me. This is helping you. That's how you renew your mind. You realize what's you. What's you is a new creation. What's you is a glorious son of God. What's you is a son of freedom. What's you is you're as bold as a lion. So when anything comes that's not that, you swat it. You basha kosha haraba. That's not you. It's not you. You're not this weird person. Good one day, bad the next. Then you go back and go. You haven't got two natures in you. You only have the nature of God. You only have the nature of God. Because it says your old nature was circumcised. I'm going to get a bit specific here. Medically speaking. Circumcision, for those of you who don't know how it works. It's a one-off thing. It's done. It's gone. And I don't know, I was circumcised when I was a baby, and I don't know where it is, that piece, it's gone. You know, 20... I'm sorry. This is the Bible. It says your old nature was circumcised, which means it was removed. It was thrown away. It's been discarded. You don't go looking for it and thinking, where's that little thing? Where's... It's gone. It's gone. Once for all. Once for all, it's gone. Shabba. There you go. That helped you. See, the joy is coming right there. The glorious freedom of the sons of God. Two freedoms that God's brought us into. The freedom to be healed and the freedom to heal. I'm just honing on this because God wants to heal some people this morning, and I want to just... I know Rob taught this. If you were at the conference, you have had some background on the ministry of healing. It's been restored to the church. It's perfect theology, as Bill Johnson says, is Jesus. You want to know what perfect theology is? It's the person of Jesus. Everything he did. Look what he did. How did he behave? He went, says he went around doing good. Say doing good. And healing. Everyone who was oppressed of the devil. So it's not like, oh, you know, I've got the sickness. I think it's going to glorify God. And I don't know. God's teaching me something. Well, hello. Why do even non-Christians, when they get sick, they go to a doctor? Well, because intrinsically in the heart of man is that thing, you know, this illness, this growth, this decay, whatever this illness is, it's got to be bad because I feel sick. I've lost my energy. I've lost my purpose. I've lost some functions. You know it's wrong. So you go to a doctor. If you really believe that God was teaching you something, well, just get really sick. Learn the lesson well, you know. Get worse. Because intrinsically we know something's wrong. Something's amiss. I want to get better. I want to feel better. I'm being robbed. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus said, to give you life and life more abundantly. More abundantly. Say more abundantly. He's come to give us more abundant life, and that life includes healing, includes deliverance, includes every form of the pleasures of God. It said, at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's like, why shouldn't you enjoy God's presence? The chief end of God, chief end of man, the Westminster Catechism says, is to worship, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Say, enjoy Him. Well, what that means is that you're going to have pleasure. It's like worship and intimacy with God is pleasurable. I'm not a masochist. I don't go to church because I have to. I go to church because I love His presence. I'm going to get happy. I'm going to get wine. I'm going to get filled. I'm going to hear prophecy. I'm going to see miracles and signs and wonders. I go to church because God's there. I love it. I go to our church, Jubilee, even when I'm on holiday. It's like we took a week off a few months ago, and like we on Sunday woke up and like we could be. There's some amazing churches in Sydney we could go to, but I want to go to Jubilee because we're going to see the power of God move, and I'm going to get infected with glory and joy, and I can do with more joy. Amen. Amen. Anyone can do with more joy today? Amen. You've already got it. It's already in you. It's right there. It's bubbling inside of you. It's not outside of you. It's inside of you. I'm just releasing what God has already put inside of you. So healing is part of the part of the cross. At the cross, Isaiah 53, it says He carried our sorrows. He carried our sicknesses. He carried our bruises. He carried our fears. He carried our sicknesses. He carried them all. And by His wounds, you were healed. Past tense. So we are activating what's already been done at the cross. We're not inventing something new. We're just going, Lord, at the cross, You paid a huge price. I haven't got to pay that price. He paid a price I can't pay. But we have to activate the body. I am activating the body today. Because each of you are healers. In Luke 9 verse 1 it says, Jesus called the 12 disciples together. And He gave them power and authority to cure diseases and to cast out demons. He gave them power and authority. Say power and authority. He gave the 12 disciples. So people could think, well, that's obviously for the 12 disciples. Yeah, that lets me off the hook. Well, the next chapter, if you read it in Luke 10, verse 1, it says, and then He called 72 others. Who were they? I have no idea. What's your name? Francisca. 72 others. What's your name, ma'am? Louise was the person that was called. What's your name, sir? Others. That's him. Carruthers. So He called 72 others. We don't know who they were because they were nameless in this particular story. Because Jesus was saying, I've given to the 12 and I've given it to you. Anybody. This is for anybody. Try it at home. Yes. Amen. Practice it. This healing ministry is not just for the select few. It's not for the apostles and prophets. Although it says in 2 Corinthians 12:12 that the mark of an apostle is signs, wonders, and miracles. Any apostolic ministry that does not include foundation laying, ministry of grace, and signs, wonders, and miracles is not an apostolic ministry after Jesus. Simple. It's just not it didn't say this is a sign. It is the sign, the mark of an apostle. So apostles train and equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, and the ministry includes love, patience, kindness, hospitality, psalmody, mercy, and power healing. It includes gifts of healing to the church. The church is a healed church. You know, I got saved at the age of 15. My father was an evangelist. Many of you might have known my dad before he died. And I went on a trip because I was a musician. And he took me to Zimbabwe. We had 56 meetings in 18 days in Zimbabwe. My dad worked hard. grace of God, Paul says, enabled me to work harder than the other apostles. Nothing wrong with grace and hard work. It goes well together. So the first meeting we have is at a it's like it was a seminary. I don't know how my dad got into Catholic seminaries, but there he is. It's a Catholic seminary with these young men called for ministry into the Catholic Church. That's a good time to get them. Amen.
Amen.
So he calls up this guy. He says, anyone sick here? God's going to heal you this morning, tonight. And this guy comes forward. He's on calipers. He's got a big built up leg, not a leg, built up heel, a big shoe, a big boot. Because he had polio when he was a child, and this guy, his leg didn't grow. His leg was shriveled and about 7 inches shorter than the other one. My dad just rips it off. He says, you're not going to need that anymore. And I'm like, I'm 15. I'm like, you can't say that. This is going to be so embarrassing. But Mom, I'm watching because, you know, you can only be a witness when you've witnessed something. Come on. You got to witness miracles. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see how this one works. And he just took this boot away, and I remember watching him. He sat this boy down in a chair, and just like Jimmy's sitting, and he held his legs in his hand, and all his eyes were fixed on my dad. And I watched that leg grow. It took about 1 minute. It just grew and 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 grew 7 inches. And he said, well, there we go. Next. Come on. So, once you witness the power of God at 15, I turned 50 2 weeks ago. So, for 35 years, I've believed in the power of healing. And I've prayed for the sick. We've seen thousands and thousands of people healed over 35 years in at least 22 different countries that I've ministered to people. I love it. I love healing. We've also had many disappointments. Many people that we've prayed for got worse. But I didn't make them worse. Amen. For some reason, their faith, my faith, the combined lack of faith, whatever it was. And I don't analyze anymore because I can't heal a flea. I couldn't heal a cat. I couldn't do anything because I have to operate in the gift of God and the anointing God's given me. But He has anointed me. And the reason why I get more people healed than most is because I just pray for more people. And so I have more failures, but more successes at the same time. Does that make sense? So we've released our church. We have 100 or more people who are equipped to pray for the sick. And we have every single Sunday testimonies, both services, morning and evening, 5, 6 testimonies. I was in the street. I went here. I saw this person. I prayed for them. They couldn't move their leg. They couldn't move their back. They couldn't move their leg. This person had this problem, and they got healed, and they got healed. And who are the people testifying? The believers. The believers. We have our own testimonies. 3 Sundays ago, or maybe 4, a woman came to our service. She leads a church with her husband somewhere in Sydney, Roger and Louise. And they've been coming for about 3 or 4 months. They come in the evening service because they don't have a service in the evening. They come and get drunk with us. Just come and get filled. Amen? It's a good thing to get filled in the river. So they come and drink and get filled. And I didn't know that she was ill. But that Sunday, I had other visitors from Melbourne, so we stayed only for 3 hours during the service. And then at 9 o'clock, she'd come forward for prayer. There was a lot of glory happening. She was really manifesting. I think it was a spirit of infirmity because she was thrashing around. Things were leaving her. And Izzy just spoke over her and said, you'll never be the same again. And then we left. And the team prayed for another hour for her. Another hour. So we left at 9 in the evening, and they prayed till 10. Because they're faithful. Got a great team of people. Because she needed some care. She needed some love. Tuesday, I get a text from Roger. He says, Finney, I got to tell you this testimony. He said, my wife has had osteoarthritis for 25 years. Yesterday morning, she went to gym. It was the Monday. And she ran for the first time in 25 years. She's completely healed. Completely healed. Come on. Come on. 2 weeks ago, they took a weekend away out of ministry. They went up to Cairns, up to the Great Barrier Reef. She put on flippers for the first time in 25 years. She went snorkeling and scuba diving. Come on. God's going to heal some arthritis this morning. God's going to heal some backs. God's going to destroy some tumors this morning. God's going to lift depression off people. People have been suffering from voices and depression. You're going to get healed this morning. Because that's the will of God. The cross paid the price. Jesus is the question. Job is the question. Jesus is the answer. Amen. We weren't called to suffer the sufferings of Christ. Christ suffered that we wouldn't suffer His sufferings. So what sufferings do we face? I'm glad you asked that question. I asked the Lord the other day because Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and share in the fellowship of His sufferings. It's good to know what sufferings are those. And I'm not saying this is a theology or this is the only answer. But the Lord told me, the sufferings that you suffer with Christ are those that you didn't cause. Not sickness. It's not depression. But it's persecution. It's the challenges of ministry. It's the challenges of working with people. It's the challenges of living in a fallen planet where things sometimes go wrong. And so we suffer. We suffer when the economy suffers. We suffer when things go wrong. Amen. We suffer sometimes friction in relationships. We go through sufferings. We rejoice in those sufferings. It's not like, I'm suffering for the Lord. I can see that. What happened to rejoicing always? Amen. So when we realize, well, I didn't cause the suffering. Well, I can be happy. Amen. We can be happy when we're suffering because Paul wasn't suffering like, oh, I'm in prison now. This sucks. What had he done to get himself in prison? Nothing. He hadn't done anything wrong. He'd just been honest to the gospel of God and called him to preach, and he ended up in prison. Sometimes he was betrayed by friends that were close to him. Sometimes he was stoned, left for dead. He wasn't stoned, you know, that way. He was stoned with stones. Left for dead. Betrayed. And he said, I count all these things in honor for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. So God wants me to encourage you this morning that the freedom of the sons of God, the freedom that you have, the glorious freedom, is the freedom to love others, even if they aren't loving to you. There's nothing supernatural about loving those who love you. Anyone can do that. It's supernatural to love those that are not lovable. They're grumpy. They're uptight. They're cantankerous. Those guys. And you just say, oh, I have a word for you this morning. And you give them a big hug and you hold on to them and say, oh, I just feel God's love for you this morning. No, I feel such love for you this morning. God is just pouring His love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And that glorious freedom is the freedom to heal and be healed. Today is going to be healing and you are going to become healers. Every one of you are free to heal. Every one of you are qualified to heal. And you're going to have some failures and you're going to have some successes. But the freedom is the freedom to have a go. The freedom is the freedom to believe in the calling of God. The freedom is the freedom to say, God, I thank you that you can use us. That I am a priest. I am a royal priest. There's no priests with collars and robes and things. In the kingdom of heaven, there's nothing. It says, I want a royal priesthood. Peter says, 1 Peter 2:9, I have a royal priesthood. The royal priesthood are the saints of God. Come on. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has an anointing. Everyone has gifts. Everyone is called to do the work of the ministry. Happy leaders are leaders who've released the saints to do the work of the ministry. And they just get the testimonies and they share in the rewards because all of us are saints. The glorious ones of God in whom is all His delight. He's delighted in us. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And lastly, the freedom to serve. Philippians 2:7 says, Jesus took upon Himself the nature of a servant. He took a basin of water. And He, at the Last Supper, and He went to His disciples' feet, and they weren't feet like these feet, which all look perfect. Lovely shoes and laces and socks and stockings and... They weren't feet like that. They were sandaled feet that had walked on dusty roads for kilometers. How many of you have walked on dusty roads for kilometers and then looked at your feet in sandals? Probably not too many of you because we don't do that. But you just use imagination. There was toe jam involved here. This is gross. This is not just a nice little carpeted arena. This is a table in a Middle Eastern context where there's dust and it's dirty, and their feet were dirty, and he did the job that was relegated to the lowest of the low. He was saying, "Where's the hardest job? Where's the least profile job I can find to do tonight?" And I'm the rabbi. I'm the guy with the parking space and with the office and with the robes. I'm the guy that everyone should be. They should be washing my feet, technically, because I'm higher than. Come on. So I'm going to do the job that no one wants to do, because it's like, wash my feet, but don't talk to me, you know? Do you hear what I'm saying? Because Jesus said, if you want to be first, you must be last. If you want to be high, you've got to be low. And so he demonstrated this love that he had for his disciples. He held their feet and he washed their feet. And he said, this is ministry. What I'm doing today, I'm washing your feet. We stayed here 2 hours yesterday after between 1 and 3 o'clock, and we were hungry. But there were people queuing up to be loved. On the previous night, the Friday night, we stayed till 12 o'clock here in this hall. Why? Because people wanted to be loved. They wanted a word from God. They wanted a miracle. They wanted to encounter Jesus. We pour ourselves out. Why? Because Jesus did. Ministry, all ministry looks like Jesus. Jesus was exhausted at times. Why? Because he was tired. His divinity was restrained in his humanity. He was asleep in the boat in a storm. I would have been wide awake. I mean, I'm on a plane and I'm wide awake. I'm wide. I'm watching those engines going like this. I'm like, oh my goodness me. Are these wings flapping or what? How do those wings move and then fall off, you know? I'm wired. I'm asleep in a storm. Jesus was exhausted. He was sleeping in the storm because he poured himself out. And then you go back to the Father and say, Lord, I need refreshing. He was relying on the Holy Spirit just as you and I are. And he was anointed by the Holy Spirit just as you and I are. He did his miracles as a man under the power of the Holy Spirit. This is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God wants to anoint you today. And the heart that we have is the heart of a servant. Every leader, every minister is a servant. The most menial tasks we do as unto the Lord. Every one of us needs to be engaged in the life of the church, serving and loving and living the life. Don't look in your church and say, oh, there's no love in this church. Well, hello, what are you doing then? There's no power in this church. Well, where's your power? Because whatever you see, whatever hole you see, whatever gap you see, fill it. Become the solution. Become that person. You say, well, I wish there was more of this. Just be more of that. Amen. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. We are the solution. We are the answer to every need in the church. Because the church is a body. It functions together. The eye cannot say of the ear, I don't need you. You're less important. The liver is as important as the kidneys. And we can't see them, but I'm glad they're working. Amen. Not visible. Some gifts are more visible, and they sometimes can receive more honor, but I believe all the church needs to be honored. Every gift, those who are looking after our kids right now, we must honor them. Today, when they release your kids, guess what? Oh, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. I was able to receive the word. I was able to get prayer because you were looking after my kids. Honor every part of the body, and then take upon yourself. Come on. And then take on that nature and say, Lord, I want your nature. The nature of a servant, the nature of a lover, the nature of a laid down lover. I'm going to get in the dirt. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray for anything that moves. On Wednesday evening when they have the treasure hunt and the prayers, I'm going to be there because I want to reach out to the lost. I want the lost to get saved. Any revival always has an outpouring in the lost getting saved. We have at least 4 or 5 outreaches every weekend at Jubilee. Three amongst the homeless. People just go into the bus shelters and into the underground train stations where it's warm, where the homeless gather, and they go and pray for them. They bring them food. There's an outreach every second weekend to the red light district, which is hectic. Izzy was there, just in a strip club. These ladies are naked, and they're bringing them gifts and giving them prophetic words and telling them how God loves them. And these girls are crying in the red light district because God loves them too. Come on. And ministry only makes sense when it's in church and outside church. It only makes sense when there's filling and filling and filling and filling, and then there's going and going and going and going. It's got to be going and filling and going and filling. God fills us to send us. We've all been sent. None of us, well, we have, you know, we've got 9 staff in our church. But every church, every member of our church is full-time. How many part-time Christians do we have?
Amen. Who's a full-time Christian here? Come on. Then you're full-time. When people ask me, how many ministers do you have in your church? I say, about 400. I say, wow, how big is your church? About 400. Amen. Because the Bible says you've been called ministers of the new covenant. So every one of us are qualified to share the gospel, to explain the work, how the gospel works, what grace is, what healing is, what God's done at the cross. Every one of us are qualified. You are not to be silent. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Show me your hands. Say, Father, I thank you that I am a minister of Christ, that I am a qualified minister of the gospel, that these hands are anointed hands. These hands are hands that can bless. Thank you for giving me the gospel as a free gift. Bless me that I can be a blessing. Fill me that I can fill others. Thank you today for touching my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank the Lord.